But anyway, I want to introduce myself. My name is Matt Davis. I work with a company called PM Providers. We're a certified partner and all that, like many of the other partners here. I'm also president of the Boston chapter of the Microsoft Project Users Group. And we do a lot of webinars for MPUG Global. And I'm also host of the sort of web radio show that we do on MPUG called Project Talk. So we do this kind of stuff a lot of live demos. If you haven't checked it out, if you're an MPUG member, or even if you're not an MPUG member, you can go to MPUG.com and look for Project Talk. It'll be in the Web and Learn section. We usually do them about once a month. Anybody ever? Okay, hey, we got some Project Talk fans. Awesome. Okay, that's great. Again, I don't know if John's here or not yet, but I do the show with my partner, John Riopel. He may be in the room at some point, so if you want to hear about all the wonderful things that PM Providers can help you with, you can certainly, he'll be glad to sit down with you for several hours and talk about that if you're interested. So that's a little bit about me, obviously PMP certified and all the rest of that. So we're going to talk about EVM today, right? And so I want to kind of set a little bit of a context for this because I want to make sure that you understand my approach, which is that I don't really like to do more work than is necessary, right? I think I must have that engineering gene that Ludo was talking about. I really, you know, I don't like ever want to have to own a scientific calculator or anything. I'm not into that. So what I'm looking for is, you know, if I can spend a reasonable amount of effort in doing something with Microsoft Project and get some value out at the end, right? And so that's really what I'm looking to do. When I saw the new project, Project 2013, new reports, right? Everybody like the new reports, right? New reports, very cool, awesome, right? And I looked and, hey, there's this earn value report. Awesome, right? That's great. Except, you know, what does it say? Zero. Everything is zero. I'm like, zero can't be good, right? That can't be a good thing. So how do I make that not zero, right? And how much effort is going to take for me to get that report to actually tell me something interesting, give me something of value? What do I have to do to get it to do that? And so that's really my approach, is to make sure that at the end of the day, we all know kind of what are those pieces that if I do these things and spend some reasonable amount of effort putting in the data and some process things, that I can make that report tell me something interesting. And that's really all I want to do. You know, I'm, you know, it's not a DoD thing. I mean, if you go to talk to some of these guys, and they're very into it, and that's great, and there's all these permutations about, well, depends on the type of contract you have and this or that. It's like, in fact, at the party last night, somebody asked me, so, you know, what are you presenting on? And I said, well, I'm going to do earned value. And, like, you could almost hear the music, you know, dun-dun-dun, earned value? You know, and then it went into the ensuing conversation was, you know, oh, yeah, earned value. You know, we tried this here and that and the fixed price. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the bar, you know. I don't want to get into all that stuff. What I really want to do is, like I said, put in a reasonable amount of effort and get something out the other end without needing a scientific calculator or a slide rule or whatever you're going to have. So that's really the idea. What are the key pieces of information? What are the key processes that I need so that really for the rest of us non-Department of Defense contractors, can we get something out of earned value? And can we make that report not say zeros? Right? So that's the approach. So is everybody with me on that? If you have the heavy duty, like, you know, DOD questions, find somebody with a pocket protector and they'll bend your ear for hours to do that. That's not what we're going to be doing today. We're going to take you through the steps that you need to go through in order to get some value out of that. Okay, so we're all good with that, right? Okay. So a little bit of the outline here. I do want to talk a little bit about earned value, so you know, we know what it is, we have some context for it. So we'll talk a little bit about sort of the key concepts, like anything, right? Like project management or PMP or project, it has its own language. So we want to know some of the terminology and some of the acronyms and stuff like that. So we'll do that. And also a little bit about how we interpret that information, right? Because that's kind of important if we don't know what we're looking at or we look at it and we don't know how to interpret it. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we'll talk about, okay, so now how do I get there, right? What are the data requirements? What do I really have to manage in Microsoft Project in order to make that earned value report telling me something? Also, there are some process needs, right? So we have some things that we have to do on a regular basis in order to get this data to be valuable to us. And there are some modeling options. We'll talk a little bit about some of this sort of esoteric stuff that I think is important for you to know, but it'll be very brief. And then I'm going to attempt, before your very eyes, to actually make the earned value report tell us something from zero to actually telling us something. So we'll sort of do a little bit of a day in the life thing. And then obviously we're going to look at the reports in Pro, and also we'll take a quick peek into PWA, because in fact PWA has some earned value reporting stuff there too. So does that sound like fun? All right. I hope so. It better be. I'm determined to have fun no matter what, even though it's 9 o'clock on day three. So we'll see what happens. All right. So let's talk a little bit about sort of the challenge here in earned value and how we do that. You can see our good friend over here. We've all seen her before on the left. She's our project manager, and she's dealing with resources and schedule and cost and trying to get deliverables out the door and all the typical stuff that we do as project managers. And then we have our executives over here who are, you know, looking for accountability and efficiency and value and all that kind of thing. And so there are some very typical questions that we get asked. I sometimes teach project courses, and I do talk about the elevator scenario, right, where we walk into the elevator and you run into work and you grab your coffee and you run to the elevator and there's like one of the senior VPs, right, standing there going, and he says, so how's that project going? You on time? You know, you're going to make the schedule? You got enough resources? He's just making conversation, right? But he's now asked you three questions that you are terrified to answer, right? Because you probably don't know, right? Unless you're doing some of this stuff, you're going to, so now you have a couple of choices. It's like, okay, so what I say, yeah, everything's great. Now you're really on the hook, right? Or you could say, I don't know. This is not a career builder answer. Or you can say, well, let me run that earned value analysis for you, and I'll let you know in a day or two. Or maybe you have it. You know, hey, we're 3 months behind schedule, and I need resources, whatever it may be. So, you know, are we on schedule? Will we have enough budget? Are our resources delivering? Will we meet our customer expectations? Those are the kinds of things. These are not unreasonable questions for a VP in the elevator to ask you when you're running in, spilling your coffee on them, right? So we want to be able to answer those questions. And, in fact, we can. If we do some of the things that we're going to, all the things that we're going to talk about today, all right? So that's kind of our scenario. Simple questions, it's a question of what is your answer going to be, right? So let's talk a little bit about EVM. First of all, what is it, right? Let's get a definition. And when I actually looked for a definition as I was getting ready to put this presentation together, I found, 17. There was no one definitive one. So I'm going to share this one with you. This one's from the Microsoft Project 2003 User's Guide. That's a good source. I love that. So what they say there is it's a method for measuring project performance. Good. It indicates how much of the budget should have been spent in view of the amount of work done so far, key component there, work done so far, and the baseline cost for task assignment or resources. Okay, so kind of tool-centric. You know, obviously it's from the 2003 user guide, but that's good. I kind of like that definition. A couple of other definitions. Project Magazine talks about a methodology. Ooh. Used to measure and communicate the real physical progress. Keyword physical progress there. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Physical progress of a project taking into account the work complete, time taken, and the costs incurred to complete that work. Okay, that's pretty nice. NASA, I always like them. They're pretty good at defining stuff. And they say it's an integrated management control system for assessing, understanding, and quantifying what a contractor or field activity is achieving with program dollars. Good. Program dollars, another key concept here. Because when we talk about earned value, everything is measured, well, at the core, it's measured in dollars. And there's some indices and things like that we'll talk about, but it's dollar-based, right? And EVM provides project management with objective, true, accurate, and timely data for effective decision-making. And finally, these guys, I actually like this one a lot, which is why I put it in here next to NASA, is it's a method for measuring project performance. Compares the amount of work that was planned with what was actually accomplished to determine if cost and schedule performance is as planned. So, yeah, all a little bit different, right? So I sort of did a mashup on these, and this is my working definition for today, because this is the way I want to use it. And that is that it's a project management technique. I don't want to go quite as far as methodology. It's a technique for measuring project performance and progress. It combines measurement of scope, schedule, and cost in a single integrated system, right? So it's all there, which enables extremely accurate forecasts, which was something I felt was missing from the others. of project performance. So it's a way for us to really understand what's going on. And there's some really simple things we'll talk about later. But basically, if you do the sort of, here's the budget, and here's how much I spent so far, you know, cost against actual, that's really a two-dimensional view of your project. And while most executives, I'll say some executives, depending, will sort of want to go that way, they want to ask you to report that way, the fact is they're really kind of missing the boat, because without the third dimension of earned value, you could be in a place where, yeah, right on budget, but I've given you nothing, right? I've given you nothing of value. And so that's really why it's so important and valuable to talk about earned value. So we're going to kind of go through that a little bit. So at its core, there are some key components here. We'll talk about these acronyms and kind of what they are, just to level set, because we're going to see them later. So there are basically three fundamental values that are calculated for each task in Microsoft Project. Okay, of course, you can always do it manually, but I think we should use Microsoft Project to do it. And they are planned value, previously called budgeted cost of work scheduled. I prefer PV, planned value. So that's kind of like what was supposed to happen, right? The actual cost, or actual cost of work performed. Okay, so we talk about actuals and tracking. And the earned value that used to be called budgeted cost of work performed. So we're going to kind of talk about those each a little bit. So planned value, again, planned value is the budgeted cost of the tasks as scheduled, based on cost of resources, right? So our resources need to cost us something. Even though a lot of times we don't track that way within our organization, we need to have some sense of that there is a value to the resources and what they do. And it may be people, of course, or other types of resources. They've got to be assigned to tasks and then plus any fixed costs, right? So that's really our planned value, again, at a point in time, scheduled, right? So where are we in time? That's a really important element of this. So it shows essentially how much of the budget should have been spent at this point in time, based on the baseline cost of the task assignments and all of that, okay? And we also have to remember that planned value is calculated as a cumulative time phase baseline cost up to the status date. Status date, key word here. Okay, so one of the things that we need to make sure of when we're in Microsoft Project is that we set project information dialog box, right? Start date, all that stuff. Well, there's three or four dates in there. One is today's date, which you can change, of course. That always makes life interesting. But the other one is the status date. And in fact, the status date doesn't just create a pretty line on the Gantt chart. It actually provides the earned value calculation with a, okay, so where do you want me to assume we are now in order to run these calculations? So we'll look at that. We want to make sure that we do the status date. And again, when we get through kind of this stuff, we'll do this all in project, so I can show you how to get there and what to do, okay? So that's planned value, okay? The next one is actual cost. Pretty simple. It's the cost that has actually been incurred to date again, for a task resource assignment. What cost have I incurred so far? That's pretty straightforward, right? We all can, get our hands around that. And then the earned value, EV, or formerly budgeted cost of work performed. So it's the value of the work performed by the status date. Okay, and it's measured in currency. Again, how much have I delivered for you? Okay, so it's literally the value of work. For instance, if I say I'm 2 days, if after 2 days 60% of the work is done on a task, I might expect that 60% of the total task budget is spent or not. So you think about it like this. I'll give a different example because I think I might have messed that one up, missed something there. But if I was supposed to have spent a dollar, the earned value might be that I really only delivered you 67 cents worth of value for that dollar. So the idea that I, plan to do this, but in fact I didn't quite get there, that's the earned value piece of it. And we'll see this again later. We'll talk about it a little bit more, but just to get a first pass on these. All right, so those are the three. Planned value, how much should have I have spent for the work planned up to this point in time? Actual cost, that's pretty simple. What did I actually spend for the work performed? And earned value, how much value should I have at this point for the cost of the work that was done? Okay? And again, that cost of work for done is based on the status date. So if you look at my friends here, kind of just understanding this at an emotional level, I like to kind of get the gut thing going because then it really makes sense, right? We have our construction friend over here, and he's basically telling us, yeah, we spent all the money and actually some more. And we're also behind schedule, and your house is still only 25% done. That hurts, right? It's like, what? So you can see on the graph, okay, we were supposed to be at 100% planned value. We've actually overspent, and I've got almost nothing to show for it. Okay, that's the essence of earned value. That's where, you know, you go, ugh, I just got kicked in the gut. And when I get that feeling, then I say, okay, maybe I should be paying attention, right, to what's going on here. So that's really what these elements are telling us, okay, is what am I getting for my buck, and am I getting what I should have gotten so far? Make sense to everybody? Okay. All right, so this is a typical EVM graph, and the reports in project look a little bit different, but anybody seen something like this before? Okay, and maybe your eyes glazed over a little bit or not. But basically, we have these three data points, again, on here. So we've got the middle line, that's the planned value. You know, you can think of it as baseline, that's where we're supposed to be, right? We've got our earned value, what we actually really have delivered, and we've got our actual cost. And so you can see the brackets, without getting into too much detail or breaking out our scientific calculator again, is that the brackets tell us what our variances are. So the difference between our earned value and our actual cost is our cost variance, and the difference between our earned value and our planned value is our schedule variance. It seems weird. I don't want to try to work too hard to get our heads around that, but that's what's really going on. And the last one over here, that's budget at completion. Okay? So this is a kind of typical EVM graph that tracks those three pieces. Okay? Now, once we have that, then we're going to get a couple of indices. Okay, and so let's talk about the indices for a minute. We have CPI, SPI, and TCPI. Okay, and these are derived from those previous three values. There are some formulas and stuff, and actually at the end of this, I've got a kind of a nice chart that shows you the formulas and what they mean, and if it's greater than one, is it good or bad, and things like that, so you get a little resource on that. As well as some web links and stuff to some other information on this. So we get these three indices. CPI is our cost performance index, SPI is our schedule performance index, and TCPI is our to complete performance index. Again, all of these variables that I've showed you, these indices and the schedule variant, the other ones, the previous three, they're all fields that are inside Microsoft Project. So they're already all there, and as long as we do the right things that we're going to talk about, these numbers will be calculated for you. That's why I'm not bothering to show you all the formulas, because I don't really want to know the formulas or have to remember them. Microsoft Project is going to do that for me. All I have to do is make sure I give it the right data, okay? But these are the numbers that we'll be getting out. This is what we're headed towards, so let's just talk about these for a second. So CPI, Cost Performance Index, shows, and this is, again, I try to point out keywords here so we can kind of key in on these, shows the efficiency of the resources, okay? So are they like my construction buddy there who's kind of loafing around smoking cigarettes and, like, you know, nailing a couple of nails that day? In which case, my CPI is probably less than one. Or is he really hustling and getting stuff done and, you know, building the house and getting us ahead of schedule, in which case are getting ahead of cost, in which case our CPI is greater than one. Okay, so how am I doing with the dollars I'm spending? That's CPI. The second one is our schedule performance index. So this shows the efficiency of the time utilized, right? And you've got to understand those are sort of two different things, right? I can be doing really well on money but not so good on schedule, or vice versa, right? Or a combination of the two. So the SPI shows us the efficiency of the time that we have. Again, greater than one is good. Great, we're seeming to be ahead of schedule. Less than one is bad. Not going to make our schedule, okay? And then TCPI, to complete performance index. This is kind of the Uber index, right? This is like the, okay, so just, I'm an executive. I don't even want a whole page. I want a half a page. So just put TCPI in there for me. Let me know what's going on. So what's that all about? Well, let's talk about these first. The TCPI, I'll get to in a second. That's sort of our Uber index again. But again, with these, our construction guy is telling Mr. Knucklehead here, we're supposed to be done next week, but we've been working for 18 weeks already, and we need another 6 weeks. So he's supposed to be done. That means his schedule performance index is less than 2, right? The cost performance index, he's obviously going to spend more money because he's going over. And our TCPI, we'll talk about that in a second, that's way over 1. That's a bad thing. So TCPI, I want to talk about that. Actually, before I came up to the conference, I flew in early last week, and I drove down to Vegas and spent a couple of days in Vegas. Anybody ever driven down there? It's beautiful, especially I'm from the East Coast. It's like mountains, and you go through the Mojave Desert and everything. But anyway, I was hanging out outside one of the casinos, and I ran into these two lovely project managers on the top. And if you ever want to get slapped by a couple of girls in Vegas, ask them how's your TCPI? Don't ask them that. Obviously, they're in good shape, right? They're like, yeah, we're going out partying with the money that we haven't spent on the project yet, that we don't have to spend, right? Because their TCPI was less than one. That meant that they had plenty of money left over and plenty more than they needed to complete the work. So they were doing good. It's a great indicator that, okay, I have enough resources, money, still to get done what I need to get done and more. Whereas our friend Mr. Knucklehead down here, his TCPI was greater than one. He was running out of money and he still wasn't there yet. He wasn't gonna get there with the money he had left. This is a bad thing, right? Anybody getting that same feeling that I'm getting? Like, I'm not there and I don't have enough money. I'm gonna have to go back to the well or go tell my VP something bad, right? That's what TCPI is telling you, okay? How are you really doing in terms of the to complete where you gotta be, okay? So far, so good? Okay, so these are pretty much the core ones. So now that we know that stuff, how do we get there? What do we need to do in order to be able to make these numbers calculate and to be able to get our nice earned value report in our new 2013 reports to actually tell us something interesting? So there are a few data requirements, and I want to talk about each of them, and then we'll show them to you again in the tool. The first is that you need to have critical path, okay? Everybody sort of know how to get critical path. I'm not going to go too deep into that, but we're okay with that pretty much. Presentation because I'm not going to do critical path right now. But just briefly, we need to make sure all our tasks have successors or successors by virtue of, I don't like summary task successors, but that they have some type of successor. There's no dangling tasks. That breaks the critical path analysis. That you don't have any unreal constraints, like you just type dates in, you know, that you only have real constraints. And that you basically have a dynamic schedule that allows for the tasks to move around as things change or you change durations and those kinds of things. So that's the first thing. We need to have a dynamic critical path-based schedule in place. Make sure you got your dependencies, your links. No manual scheduling, right? So this is not, you know, no training wheels here. And it's not tricycle time. You need to be using the scheduling engine inside Microsoft Project, okay? Second thing is you have to have costs associated with your resources. Something, right? Even if it's a blended rate of $100 an hour for everybody or whatever you do, you'll get some, you know, without it, you get nothing. At least if you get some rate in there, you have some order of magnitude numbers that you can start to work with, right? If you can get closer to real rates or, you know, we talk about loaded rates and, you know, are they fully loaded and all that, it doesn't really matter. As long as you've got some costs in there for, of course, your work resources and any other resources that you may have, material or otherwise, budget resources, cost resources. You also want to make sure that you have accurate max units and all those kinds of things. So you need to kind of have your resource pool in a good spot in terms of it being fairly accurate about in terms of the resources you have and their availability and things like that, okay? Also, you know, cost per use, that kind of stuff, all those things are good. The more kind of definition you get around cost, the better the data is going to be or the analysis is going to be when you're done. We also have to have good resource assignments. So, yeah, we can just click assign resource, assign resource, assign resource, and, you know, that's okay. But most of the time, we know that people don't really ever work 100%, 40 hours a week on your task and then show up on Friday and say, I'm done, it's 5 o'clock, right? That doesn't usually happen. So we wanna make sure we do some resource modeling. I mean, you don't have to get down to like, you know, 0.25 hours, but maybe assign people at 50% or 25% if you know they're doing other things or doing some work modeling around, it's gonna be, you know, 12 hours this week, something that's not just 100%, right? So you can get some better accuracy around your assignments. You can do multiple resource assignments, all that things if you want to. You can do work contours, whatever it may be, task calendars, all that stuff. But as long as it's just not the 100%, you know, that's just you're going to get not as good analysis. Okay, so that's another piece that we have to have in place. Complete baselines, very important. Anybody using baselines? All right, so that's good news. That's good news. I don't always get that answer. And I use the word complete. I qualify it with complete because sometimes we add tasks in the middle of our projects. And do we remember to then baseline them? No, right? And sometimes they set up a filter, a no baseline filter, and things like that, so you can find them, right? So yes, you need to make sure the baseline is there for all your tasks, okay? So we'll get our start finish dates. That's also giving us our baseline work, our baseline costs, our baseline duration, and we need to make sure that we have no missing baseline values, as I mentioned, okay? Then the status date. Again, I'm going to walk through all this stuff, so I'll show it to you in the tool kind of when we're at towards the end, because that really helps us determine the EVM calculations, the date for, you know, when are we looking at, okay? And finally, and this is the part that sometimes gets harder to do in terms of just getting around to it or getting the data, is you need to have actuals. We need to put actual start finish dates, actual work, those kinds of things. There's a number of different ways to do that. Certainly in standalone project, you know, 100% complete sometimes is okay, unless you click on 100% complete task that's in the future. That starts to get a little weird, like, oh yeah, I finished that next month. Doesn't really work. Or I'm planning to do that last month. So we have to do actuals in progress, get actual work, get remaining work, actual start and finish dates, and also make sure that we have accuracy in terms of incomplete work in the past is not there, and also complete work in the future is not part of what's in the data. We've got to kind of clean that stuff up, and we'll talk about that process piece. And so just to kind of put a bow on that, if you will, we need to remember we sort of have three sets of dates in project, right? So we've got our baseline, what we promised to begin with, which hopefully we did the moment we walked out of our sponsor's office, where he said, yep, that's the schedule. August 15th, you're on the hook, right? Baseline. We've got our planned or current start and finish dates, and we have our actuals, right? So there's three sets of these dates inside a project. And for earned value analysis, or to answer the question in the elevator to our VP about how you doing, that simple question, we need to be managing all three of these models, essentially, right? So just so we're clear on that, there's those three models, and you need to be paying attention to all three of them, okay? All right, so those are the data requirements, essentially. There's six or seven, I think. I forget what the count is, but around that. So, you know, there's things that we need to be doing. We can't be novices in project. We need to be able to know how to get around and do these things. And again, I'll show them to you. Now, in terms of process, you know, I'm not like a big process guy. These are not, you know, like big complicated processes. I like process stuff, but I like simple process stuff. So there are basically five processes that you kind of need to have going, okay? We need to do some type of work and effort estimation, right? That's the better estimates we have, the better data we're going to have. If we just kind of, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, that kind of thing, you're not going to get very good information when you're done. We need to have what I call resource scheduling process, which is to say not just assigning resources, but dealing with resource schedules in terms of, do I have overallocated resources, you know? Do I have a schedule that I just walked out of my sponsor's office with that I've just committed to that's dependent on my senior engineer working 17-hour days for the next 4 weeks? Not a good plan, right? That's probably not going to happen. So I want to do what I call resource scheduling, which is really to make sure that I've got good resource loading and it's believable that I can work with those resource levels. Baseline management. So we talked about, you know, having a baseline and not having blank baseline data, but there's kind of more to it than that. So we'll talk about each one of these. Actuals, updates, and analysis. So again, we need to do the updates, but then we also need to figure out what that means. So I can put the actuals in, but now what do I do? It's, you know, not enough to just have the actuals, so we'll talk about that. And then we need to have a kind of a replanning process. So once we do the analysis on the updates, where are we, what's happened, what hasn't happened, what's finished, what hasn't finished, and we do the analysis on that, what does that mean? Then I need to replan. So these are kind of the key five processes. They're not terribly complicated, but we need to make sure that we're doing them on a regular basis. Okay, so we're going to talk about each one of these. All right, so process needs. So our first one is our work effort estimation. So, you know, just kind of general good PM best practice stuff. We should be involving our team or our SMEs, our subject matter experts. We're not supposed to be the subject matter experts in everything we do, right? We're the project management experts. So we want to get some decent work estimations, and I use the word work intentionally. You can back into a work number with duration, and so how many resources does that mean, and things like that. But ultimately, earned value is calculating based on the work values. So whether it's 10 hours a week for the next 4 weeks, or 2 hours a day for the next week, or 80 hours for the next week because it's two people, you need to get to that work value number because that's the earned value calculation basis. Our work estimates should be, again, quantifiable so we can put a real number on them, not just, well, you know, 25%. It'll calculate a number for you, but really we want to make sure that that it's quantifiable and that in terms of, you know, sort of a WBS type of approach, that we can know when things are done. So kind of best practice around, okay, what's a task, what's a deliverable, work package level, however you want to think of it. That we can quantify what the work is for a given piece of work, a given task, a given work package, important. Also, those task level items, whatever you, however you think of them, should be manageable. You should be able to know whether or not they're kind of part done or are they starting to look like they're not doing so well. I can sort of get my hands around them. And that we know that of any assumptions that have been made around those packages, I guess is the best word, or tasks. That if there's an assumption that so-and-so is working on it, you know, our senior guy, and suddenly I get the junior guy, that I know that and I can adjust accordingly. Because a lot of the earned value stuff, as you've seen so far, has a lot to do with efficiency, right? Like, am I, you know, how well am I delivering value? How well am I delivering to schedule? How well am I delivering to the budget? And so any assumptions around the types of resources or number of resources or whatever it may be, departments, should be known so that if they change, you may choose to change some of your planning here around your work effort estimation. And that we understand a clear done state. Know when it's done, know if it's not done. And so that's a little bit about the effort estimation process, some key things there. In terms of resource scheduling, it doesn't always have to be about leveling delay or resource leveling or our new 2013 euphemism, what is it called? Move tasks or move project until resources are available, which is resource leveling. And resource leveling isn't a bad thing if you know what it's doing. It's basically just increasing a value called leveling delay that simply delays a task in order to make the resource available. But it doesn't have to be that. We can address resource overallocations in a number of different ways using a number of different methods, whether it's the team planner, making overtime available or booking overtime, weekend task calendars, adding additional resources to tasks. There's a lot of other ways to deal with my little buddy there, Raj, the red overallocation guy, right? I love him. He was one of my favorites. So there's a lot of ways to make him go away other than resource leveling, right? So we need to address that because, again, if I have a schedule that requires my senior guy to be working 18-hour days for the next 3 months, I don't really have a schedule, right? I've got a disaster, right? So we want to make sure that Raj, for the most part, is going away. You know, a couple 10-hour days here and there, fine. But we want to address that. So that's really the whole resource scheduling concept, okay? So that you have a realistic schedule, which isn't always the case. Baseline management. So, you know, when I, again, to bring this material to maybe new clients or something, you know, I invariably get the question, so when should we baseline? And the answer is, you know, it depends, right? It's the perfect consulting answer. When should I baseline? So whatever your answer is, you know, it may be different for any organization, probably will be different for any organization. Have an answer. I don't care what the answer is, just have an answer. Because your baseline is everything that you're being measured against, right? Especially in earned value. So, I mean, I have some guidelines around that. Certainly, again, the moment you walk out of your sponsor's office and he says, I like your schedule, August 15th, see you then, right? baseline, okay? I want to capture that for sure, right? Don't want to miss that one. And then, okay, so when can I rebaseline? You know, fastest way to get a project back on track? Rebaseline? But probably that's not going to fly. So there may be some rules that your organization may agree to or your sponsor may agree to around that. For instance, one that I will try to insist upon as much as I can is approved change order. I'm rebaselining, right? I'm not going to get measured against, you know, the budget that was $500,000 now in 6 months, and now you want me to do a $3 million project in 3 years. Time to rebaseline, right? So that's certainly one that I definitely want to trigger rebaselining. A lot of times I'll go for, it's a nice one if you can get it, stage gates. Oh, it's proof stage gate, great. Hey, you know, progressive elaboration, right? We've learned new stuff. We know better about what's going to happen to this project now. We should probably rebaseline, right? You can try it. It helps. And of course, you can always stuff the old one in baseline 10 or 9 or whatever if you want to. So you can certainly do that. Again, ensure new added tasks are baselined. And there are ways to do earned value measurement against the other baselines if you want to go through some additional calculations and stuff. But just keep in mind baseline zero, or the default baseline, is the one that all the earned value calculations are going against. I'm sorry, one more time? If you create a new task, what you can do is you can set the baseline just for those tasks, and that way it'll take care of the roll up to the summary and to the top level. Now it's an interesting question, because now your baseline isn't kind of really what it was before. So that comes back to the previous discussion, which was, well, if I have new tasks, do I have a change order, or do I have scope creep? You know, or what do I have there, and how do I deal with that? So I drive that question back to the process question, which is, well, what do I do with baseline management? Because you will get discovery, right? You will get progressive elaboration. You will get stuff you don't know as you get into phase two and phase three and cross the stage gates. And so how do you handle that? And that's why this piece is so important, that you understand and you have an agreement on, how am I going to manage baselines? What if we discover we need new work to be done? What do we do then? I can use interim baselines. I can keep my original baseline, you know, put that in baseline 10. There's a lot of different ways to handle that. It gets, you know, probably more in-depth than I want to get to right now, but the point really being, you're exactly right, you need to have an answer to that question. And that's really the point here. Okay? Good? Okay. Actual updates and analysis. So percent complete versus actual work. Click on 100% complete. I do it sometimes if the work's in the past and I have no idea what really happened, right? Percent complete, I don't care, it's done. That's okay. Percent complete, like not looking at my Gantt, like, you know, those people that drag the vertical split over and they start using it like Excel, and they start clicking 100%, you know, and now you've got all these tasks that are like in the future and they're done. Like, yeah, that got finished in 2015. What? All right, so, you know, generally speaking, we want to be dealing more with actual work. When we click on 100% complete, all that's doing is taking the planned work and stuffing it into the actual work field. That's all that's doing. If we take 50, if we click 50%, it's taking half of that number and putting it in the actual work field. That's all those buttons are doing. So you might want to think about using the bottom details pane, or obviously if you're in a project server environment, PWA, get task updates from your team, right? Now you can drive actual work into your plan. And that was sort of one of the original reasons even to go to a project server, right? Was I can't get all these actual updates in my plan. It will take me all week. I'll never manage my project. Use PWA. Get that data from them. Let them import it, right? Input it. So there's that piece. Also critical to this, remember we talked about the status date and the fact that it's really important to know where we are with that. It's also important to know where the tasks actually ended. Now again, if I'm midstream, I might click 100% on some past tasks, but as much as I can, I want to be able to say, so when did you actually really finish that? Oh, it was last Tuesday, or I'm finishing it this Friday, or whatever it may be. That's not only good for earned value, but you know, some of these questions that we got from our exec early on, they can be answered without earned value, but you still have to do all the same stuff. So earned value is kind of like the bonus, right? You get this extra analysis, but you still have to do these things to get to earned value, and then I also get this other information. So if I can get good start and finish dates, that's actually impacting my critical path analysis. Critical path analysis is a requirement for EVM, right, for earned value. So if I can get actual finish dates, now my critical path scheduling, my dynamic scheduling will move around. That helps me to predict my end date, my end costs, and all the rest. So I actually want to know when things finish. That's good if you can get it. And we're going to talk about this in a minute, physical percent complete versus basically duration percent or duration complete. Microsoft Project uses duration complete, which for us that don't want to grab our scientific calculators and, you know, do the pocket protector thing is okay. But there's of all of the discussions that I generally leave and go to the bar for, this one is one that is worth knowing about. So we'll talk about it briefly. And then finally, replanning. So we've gotten our actuals in. We see that Fred didn't finish the thing he was supposed to do last Friday until, you know, it was this week. And this stuff ended early, thank goodness, and other stuff is still not done, and all those things. Now we have to analyze that and say, okay, so what does that do to me? Where am I now against my baseline? How far off am I? What can I do about that? Can I, you know, do the typical things, crash the schedule, you know, add more resources? Can I cut the scope? Can I, you know, do something that might not hurt quality too bad? Whatever it may be. I need to do that analysis, and then once I've determined how I'm going to, you know, help fix my schedule or at least get it closer to where it should be, then I need to replan. I need to address reality, right? We plan, and then reality strikes. You know, things don't go according to plan. People don't finish stuff on time. Somebody's out sick, whatever it may be. And so we need to account for that. And so we need to do things like make sure we don't have completed tasks in the future, as I mentioned. We may need to re-estimate tasks that are in progress. Yeah, we thought it was going to take 20 hours. It's going to take 90. Good information, right? Thanks for letting me know. And I need to, very important, reschedule incomplete work. I cannot have work planned for the past. Again, this is all really more critical path stuff and CPM, but I have to have that for earned value. So if I have tasks that were supposed to be done last month that didn't get done, I'm going to reschedule those to happen in the future. I can't plan to do stuff in the past, right? So I need to make sure that that's addressed, okay? All right, so those are kind of our five key process needs. I know I kind of spent a lot of time and made them sound complicated, but they're really not. I mean, as long as you're using the tool and you know kind of where to go, you know, this is just part of something you do on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or whatever it may be, okay? So, you know, how does that kind of all flow? Typical schedule maintenance cycle, I call it. Schedule maintenance, maintain that schedule. So we're going to get our work effort estimates. We're going to do our resource scheduling. And by the way, this is sort of a prescribed order because, you know, you ever try to sit down with an engineering team and Microsoft Project and try to build out a schedule? Don't try this. I've done it. You know, so how long do you think that'll take? Oh, well, you know, I've got a dentist appointment on Tuesday, and, you know, I mean, it gets crazy, right? It'll take us a week. Just you? No, me and the whole team. So that kind of stuff, right? But we want to get those work estimates in place, do our resource scheduling, so we have a good resource-loaded plan that's believable without hugely overloaded or over-allocated resources. We want to make sure we manage the baseline, so we take that snapshot when we walk out of our sponsor's office, and we take that again when we have a big change order, and we take it again, maybe if we're lucky, when we cross a stage gate. That we are then doing our actual updates and analysis and replanning. And around we go. We go around this cycle on a regular basis throughout the project. Weekly, monthly, quarterly, I don't care. You know, whatever works for you. If it's a 10-year project, you know, quarterly might work. you know, shorter projects, weekly, depending on your reporting cycle, depending on how much data you think you're going to need to manage. Whatever the cycle may be, it needs to be regular and make sure that you're doing it on a consistent basis. Okay? What else? The EVM modeling options in projects. So this was sort of one of those, you know, esoteric things that I was talking about. So Microsoft Project by default uses the duration-based percent complete. And what that means is it assumes that if you have a task that's 10 days long and you click 50%, that 5 days of that is done, and that 5 days in duration that's complete, it's using those 5 days for your earned value analysis. Now, if you think about work contouring or the fact that, you know, well, yeah, it's a 10-day task, but I'm doing all the work on the last day. You know, not that I ever do that, but it does happen, right? Then duration-based completion, duration-based actuals may not really be the right thing. Now, I'm going to use, when I show you in project, I'm going to use duration-based just because, again, I want to keep it simple. I don't want to get fancy. However, when you saw some of the definitions at the beginning, you noticed there were some of the words, you know, physical completion, right? NASA likes physical completion. And if you talk to the guys who, you know, keep me from the bar talking about earned value, they will tell you, you know, physical percent complete is really the right thing to do. And in many ways it is. There's kind of two very simple things you need to do. You need to tell project to use physical percent complete instead of duration. And I'll show you where to do that. File options, advanced page. And you need to insert the physical percent complete column into your table and use physical percent complete instead of clicking on the percent complete buttons and that kind of thing. Those are really the only two pieces. If you do that, then the idea with this is, I know I'm 5 days into it, but, you know, I'm looking at the four walls and you've only painted one. How could I be half done? Right, so that's kind of the concept here, is I want to look, physically inspect, and when I put physical percent complete in, it's based on nothing other than I'm saying it's 50% done because I'm looking at two of the four walls. Okay, question?
Can you use actual remaining work?
You can, and that's a great way to go, but two things you're going to do. You're going to tell project to use, you can if you're using the percent complete method. With physical percent complete, it's going to calculate, I believe, based on actual work still. That's a good question. Let me think about that and I'll come back to it. But I just wanted to give you this and show you how to kind of where this is and how to do it if you want to use physical percent complete, okay? Other questions about any of that? Oh boy, here we go. I don't have product pocket protector, so easy, okay.
Even
if you're using Project Server, I believe, unless I'm not hearing this right, you can always pretty much do what you want in Pro. So if you open the schedules in Pro and you decide that you want to change your actuals, Pro is always the boss, or you locked it down. So that could be potentially a problem. I mean, if you're going to lock it down that way, that will limit your ability here. Other questions? I may save some for the end, but... It's not a user-defined field, it's a separate field. But right, but it's user input. So it does away with a lot of the duration-based calculations. Oh, hi. In the back? I do not have any insight into that. I'm sure there's someone at this conference who does. I don't. The physical percent, my guess is the physical percent complete has always been sort of the EVM evangelist answer, and so they're giving you that. And you don't hear people talk too much about, well, let's do, you know, work percent complete. So, you know, I'm guessing it just has not been at the forefront. You have an answer?
No.
Oh, too bad. Well, timesheets or task updates, either way. And in fact, one of the ways, now that you mention it, that you might go around that is use both. And you could use and you can set them up so the timesheets don't drive back into your plan. So you can do timesheets and then lock that down. Then you can use task updates and drive the task updates into the plan and allow them to do the actuals. That's one of the ways a lot of times, especially where you want to do timesheeting, but you don't necessarily want that data coming into your earned value analysis. Sometimes I like to set up project servers so that those two pathways, if you will, those two processes, timesheets versus task updates, are not synced. It's actually a way to get around that. So that might be an answer to get there. Okay? Other questions? All right, so now comes the hard part. I'm actually going to go try to show you some of this stuff. All right, so, it's asleep. Okay. All right, so you can see here, just to kind of go back through our data requirements and our process requirements, that I have a, I just broke your mic. I hope you don't mind. I'll just stick it in my pocket for now. That I have a critical path schedule, right? Pretty simple, just a bunch of tasks. They're linked together. I've got a few parallel tasks. I just put a simple plan together just to show you. But I have critical path, right? So if I format the Gantt, you can see I've got critical path analysis, right? Pretty straightforward dependencies, no summary task dependencies, that kind of stuff. A couple of milestones. Pretty basic. It's dynamic, right? If I, you know, move a duration to, you know, make it longer, the whole thing moves, right? That kind of stuff. So I want to have dynamic scheduling. I have notice I always keep the indicators. Hate it when people hide that. It drives me crazy. I don't have any task constraints. I can see that because I don't have any little calendars here, right? If I kind of do this, again, just, you know, you can see the little calendar. Tells me that I have a task constraint, right? So I don't have any of those. I don't type dates in here. I'll just undo that to get rid of that. I also don't have I have resources loaded, right? So I've got some resources in there. We'll take a look at that just so we kind of remember that. So if I go to one of these resources in the resource sheet, I can see that I have rates for my resources, right? So pretty simple, you know, standard rate. I actually have some material resources and things like that in there. So again, a key data point that we need to make sure that we have in our file. Obviously, I have a couple of non-critical tasks as well. Resources and resource costs I have. And I have resource assignments, right? Here's Sonia and John and all of that. And in fact, let me take a look at it's been a little while since I looked at this file, so I've got to actually remember. So I've got John at 100% over the 3 days, and I seem to have them at 100% a lot. Let's see if I have them that way all the time. All right, in the next file I don't. But I do have the resource assignments here. Okay. What else? All right, so let's walk through this. Actually, on this file I have 100% assignments, so I'm going to go. I've got a couple of pre-baked files here, obviously. I'll show you, and I'll kind of do some stuff live as well. Let's see if I got the resource assignments different here. Yeah, okay, so next step was I refined some of my resource assignment data, right? So here now John's at 33%. And of course, one of the ways I like to do that, I'll just go back to the first file for a second, is let's go to the details. Let's figure out what's happening here, and I can either maybe drop the units to 50%, or I can say, let's cancel that. Let's say this is really 10 hours worth of work and okay that, knowing that my duration might change, right? It's because it's a fixed units task, so I need to maybe play with that a little bit. Let's make it fixed duration just for now, and then I can make this 10 hours. Oops, 10 hours. So I like to do, and I have actually done it successfully on a few times with engineering teams, where I'll actually kind of use this view and say, okay, we think this is going to take about 3 days, but really, you know, what are the resources? Oh, me and John and Sally. And how many hours each? Well, she's probably going to spend about 5 hours. And then you can actually get really pretty good estimates, right? And sometimes if I even just show this to my engineering team, they'll be like, oh, I get it. And they start to get into it, right, because they're engineers. So they'll be like, oh, yeah, no, that's 2 hours. Oh, I'm going to need Tim. And then all of a sudden you got all this great data. Yep. I did it to keep it simple, but it does not blow it up. It does not blow it up. The important thing is that, and I'll go ahead and add one right now. The important thing is that as you do it, that again, I prefer not to just do 100%, 100%. You know, you can use the, I'll go ahead and assign this one. I'll give him 5 hours worth of work. And this is the kind of work modeling that is sort of preferable, right? Because now I get a real sense of what the effort is, and that implies a cost and all the rest. So this is kind of the level that I want to be modeling, as opposed to, assign resources and, you know, click assign. If you do it this way, it's going to assign that resource to 100% across the task. So I don't know if I have a 5-day task here. I'll create one. Let's make this one 5 days. So again, if I take this 5-day task and I take Brian and I assign him, if I click the assign button, it's just going to assume it's 100%. He's going to get 40 hours worth of work. You can see here, Brian 100%, 40 hours. And that's usually not realistic. So one of the things I like to do instead is I might use the assign resources dialog box, but I can put in the units or, what I really like more is let's go down here and say, no, it's 12 hours. You know, he's going to spend about 12 hours on that over the course of the 5 days. If I can just be doing this, and this is just the details form, right? I went to view, or it's on task also, details here. And if I just display the details form and go to the task, I can pick the names. Obviously, that gets a little long sometimes, but, you know, you can find people and put in how much work I think it is. This is, if you can just get there, you have gone miles in terms of understanding your resource needs, resource over-allocation potential or issues, and earn value just by doing this. So, you know, if nothing else, I'd love to see you doing your resource assignments this way, because you're going to get much better data, not only for earned value, but resource allocations, all the rest, okay? And multiple resources are fine. Okay? So far, so good? Okay. All right, so I've got some resource assignments here. What's next? Do I have a baseline? Well, let's go look at baselines. So there's no great magic to baselines. And in fact, the way that I like to know if I have a baseline is just to go use the tracking Gantt. Now, sometimes you got to drill a little harder to get this. I think under views, other views. Sometimes it's there, depending. Sometimes you got to go more views. What I actually like to do is go find the tracking Gantt in here and edit it and make sure I show it in the menu, because I use it a lot. All right, so again, I'll just kind of walk through that real quick. View, more views, or you can go here, more views. Find the tracking Gantt and edit it so I can just check this box, and then I don't have to drill so hard to find it in the future, okay? So having said that, I'm going to go see the tracking Gantt to see if I have a baseline. That's not very happy. Come on. Am I freezing here? Let's try it again. I didn't get the tracking Gantt. I missed the click. Okay, there we go. Tracking Gantt. So I can tell just by looking at this that I do not have a baseline. And the reason I can tell is because, see how the bars are skinnier than they usually are? That's because they're making room for the baseline bars below them, and I don't see any bars below them. So that's how I know I don't have a baseline. Now, there's other ways to know that, too. A few other ways to know that. Well, I could use a table like the schedule table, I think it is. Come on. Or is it the tracking table? It's not changing for me. Why is that being a pain right in front of all you people? Let's see if I can get it to, there we go. It is the other table. It is the variance table. Thank you. Baseline start, baseline finish. NA. It's another way I know I don't have a baseline. And of course, the third way, just so we can kind of see all this, is if I go to project set baseline, I don't see a date here. If there was a date here, that would be the date of when I saved the baseline. So I know I don't have a baseline. So the next thing I want to do is, obviously, set my baseline. I just walked out of my sponsor's office. And what you'll see is when I set the baseline, and this is the view I want to use because you can actually see what happens, is all that happens when I set the baseline is it takes the start and finish dates that you see there, my planned start and finish dates, and copies them into the baseline start and finish dates. Baseline start and finish dates. Okay? And then you'll see the bars plot. Now, there are some other fields that are also captured when I do this. Baseline cost, baseline work. There's a few others. In fact, if you insert a column, you can see all the baseline values that are captured. But that's really all that's happening. But that's also why it's really important that you remember to save the baseline when you walk out of your sponsor's office. Because 3 days from now, you're going to change the plan. And then if you try to snapshot it and get the baseline, you're going to copy all the new values. Right? So you got to remember to save it right when you're committing. Okay? So I'm going to set this baseline. I'm going to set it for the entire plan. And again, what you'll see is you're going to see these two columns populate, and you're going to see my gray bars show up over here. Now I have a baseline, a comparison point. Okay? So key element, that's how you do it. Pretty simple. Okay? What else? Okay, so now that I've got my baseline, I am now kind of working my project, right? And we're doing stuff, and things are happening, and I need to start tracking. So I'm going to show you kind of the end state file here again, and then we'll go back to the first file and kind of get there. So here's the baseline. You can see the plan with the baseline. You can see that I've got all these tasks in the past that are 0% complete. So I need to deal with that, right? I can't have stuff planned to do in the past, okay? I've also got something called my status state. See the red dotted line? Okay, so I want to show you that piece. And then we'll start updating this plan. So the status state, basically what I want to do there is, we'll go back to our first file, is I'm going to go to my project ribbon, project information, and here's status state right here, right? Don't change the start date. Don't change the current date. 3 dates. Be careful which one you change. And I guess today is Wednesday the 5th. Perfect. So I'm going to set my status date there to, you know, it's probably Friday or the 30th or whatever date I'm working towards. So that's one thing I'm going to do. Problem is I still don't see it over here. So the one thing I do need to do is I need to right-click over here, grid lines, and actually add the status date. I like to see it visually. So when you get it to this grid lines dialog box, make sure you scroll down and actually select status date or you'll plot something else. And I'm going to use dot dash because I know I can see that easily and make it red, but you can choose any color you want and say OK, and now I see the red line. Now, I like the red line when I'm doing critical path and when I'm doing updates and EVM because I now get a visual cue. I'm a big fan of visual cues within Microsoft Project because there's so much data, right? There's so much stuff and all these different views I got to go to see stuff. So like even Raj, right? Like big deal, visual cue, you know, it's telling me good information. So I like that density of hovering over things. And the status state is a good, great visual cue because basically I can now look at this and say, okay, everything to the left of the red date line either is done and I need to mark it as such, or it's not done, which means it needs to go to the right side of the red line. So that helps me to just kind of manage the schedule, maintain a viable schedule, maintain a believable schedule. Okay? So I'll use the status state for that. Now I can start to work with my actuals. So again, in the past, maybe I'll mark a couple of things complete. Yeah, this happened on time. It's always good if task one starts and ends on time, right? So we're doing great so far. We're done, okay? However, there are other ways to do this. You know, I will use 100% complete sometimes for something like this. And again, when I mark something 100% complete, let's go to our kind of next piece of this, which I think is in this one. And this is our actual start and finish dates. Remember I mentioned the three models, if you will? So actual start, I know I had it in here somewhere, but I'll just add them again. And actual finish. All that's really happening when I click on the 100% complete tool is it's copying the plan start and finish dates into the actual start and finish dates. It assumes when you click on 100% that everything's going according to plan, like that ever happens, right? So that's what's happening when you click on those buttons. So instead, what I like to do is say, yeah, that's probably not the way life really is. So why don't we use Mark on Track, update tasks. And this dialog box, now, you know, I could have obviously typed into the columns, but I don't like to use Project like Excel because it's not. So I like to use this and put in the actual finish date and say, okay, well, it was, you know, we planned for the 27th. Hey, I actually finished a little early. You know, I finished on the 24th. Great. Or I could change the remaining duration or actual duration. I get more data in terms of the actual, so I might put that in. Now, well, I was off by a month. Let me undo that. I wanted to finish early. So mark on track, update tasks. Instead of January 27th, I'm going to say I finished on January 22nd. And now I've got ahead of schedule, right? I'll do it one more time. Maybe I went a little too crazy. We'll back it up by a couple of days. January 25th. February. See, I almost did the same thing. Thank you. January 24th. And I'll put a start date in too of the 23rd just to kind of make it happier. And the 24th. Okay, that should work. We'll see. Okay, so now 100% complete, but I'm now getting better accurate actual information. I know when it finished, and I could have changed actual work, remaining work. I could have done it that way with the details form. That's another way I like to do this. I'll bring up the details form, and on this particular task, oops, I might say right click over here on the details form, and I can use the work version of this form. And now I can say, okay, actual work, that's planned work. Actual work was 16. Well, let's make it 14 with two remaining. Again, using the task form or details form, very accurate way now of actually saying what work really happened. So if you get in the habit of using the form here, so much the better. That's right, because there's remaining work. So I'll change it back to zero. But I'm just pointing out that you can do that here. And now you're getting better forecasting. Now I'm getting better data. I'll go ahead and put 0%, zero remaining. Now I'm back to 100%. So again, I'm kind of working at the assignment work level here. Actual assignment work, or actual data for assigned work. You can think of it that way. By being in this form here, I'm now dealing with the assignment level data, the union of tasks and resources, right, that mapping. And I'm dealing with actuals for that particular assignment, how much that resource did on that task. That's the most accurate way to be doing tracking. Takes care of itself. People can do that stuff as well, depending on how you're asking them to collect the data, your tracking method, percent complete, or you know, the more accurate you do that, if they give you actual work, remaining work, you're getting this, or actual finish date, then you've got everything you need here to do that. Again, more accurate, the better. I can do percent complete, but okay. Oh, while I'm at that, I just wanted to show you real quickly, file options, advanced page, scroll all the way to the bottom, default task earned value method. That's how you can change it to physical percent complete if you want to. So it's just a setting that changes the way earned value is calculated. And if I choose physical percent complete, which I'm not going to do, but if I do, the other thing I just need to do is insert the physical percent complete column, and then I can simply enter the data in. Okay, so just while we had that discussion, I don't want to deep dive on that discussion because, again, you know, I got to make a plane actually, so we won't do that now. But that's how you would do that. Okay, so I've got baselines, I've got actuals, and I've got my status date. I think I have everything I need to be able to do the report. So if I go back to my original file, I'm just going to undo this stuff so that I can kind of get back to where I was, where we didn't have a baseline or anything. All the way back. I love multiple undo. Okay. So if I go to the report, cost report, of course, because it's all on dollars, and I go to earn value, big zero. I can get estimate of complete because I had cost loaded resources in here, but that's about all I get. And if I scroll down, not very interesting charts, are they? Damn, what am I going to do? However, if I now go to my sort of final state file, where I can see my, and that's the last piece I wanted to show you. You can see in this that I've actually got no incomplete work on the left. I've got no complete work on the right. And the last thing that I did was to reschedule remaining work. So I'll go to one previous file, and we're starting to run out of time, which is good. I thought I might have to tell more jokes. If I go to the previous file, and you can see I've got some work that's not complete in the past, right? These two tasks, this one and then part of this one, is planned for the past, and it's not done. That's bad, right? Don't plan to do things in the past. It usually doesn't work. So the last piece I want to do to maintain my schedule is I want to go to the project ribbon, and I want to update project. And when I do that, one of the things I have here is the option to reschedule incomplete work to start after, and it happened to pick up. That's not today's date. That's the status date. So it knows what my status date is. Okay, so I can say, yeah, just take all that stuff that's on the left side of the red line and move it to the right side of the red line. So because it's not done yet. I'm going to have to do it tomorrow. So I'll say, let's reschedule the incomplete work to start after my status date. You will note now I do have some constraints and some overallocations, by the way. So I am going to have to analyze. Remember I said do actuals and then analyze? So I'm going to have to do that and replan. But at least now I've dealt with the issue of having work planned for the past. And so now if I've done that, and I've essentially completed all the processes and maintained all the data that I need to maintain, now if I go to my report, and I go to my earned value report, voila, I have useful data. All right? Come on. I had to get one applause. Okay, so there it is. Now, I'm not going to go too deep into the analysis of this because actually we're nearly out of time, but you can see my estimate at completion, $10,900. You can see my actual cost to date. You can see my earned value is a little less. So my indices are going to say that I'm not really delivering quite as much value as I should have been. And then you can read the stuff here, right? The project earned value is based on the status date, blah, 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 actual cost of work performed. Now, I made a couple of minor alterations to this report. One of the things I did was I changed, this originally said, I think it said EC. So I clicked on this and I changed the label of this thing here. I typed in estimate at completion because I wanted to make it easy for my executives to understand what they mean. The other thing I did was I changed these. These still say BCWP and BCWS and all of that. So really all I did was, if you right click, I selected this, and if I right-click on the field here, field settings, I just alias them. The field is really ACWP. I just change it to AC to make it easier to see, right? Because I like the shorter ones because I like stuff simple. So that's really all I've changed on this. Other than that, they're pretty much out of the box. So you can see it'll tell you, you know, this is what this is telling you. And you can see that the gray line is my plan value, so that's where I was supposed to be. My AC, my actual cost, I was doing pretty well up till right about here, and then I started spending more money than was originally planned. And the unfortunate part of that is what I was actually delivering, the earned value here, was slightly less. And you can see particularly right here, they really start to split off. So I can start to understand that my efficiency levels are hurting a little bit, right? And I need to maybe drive the team a little harder or see if I can deliver some stuff, you know, earlier. And you can go through the rest of the charts. I'm not going to go through those. But you can see we now have some analysis, and we now have earned value for the rest of us. Okay? Good? Questions? Question. Ah, great question. So that's the last thing I want to show you. This particular report is single schedule. However, just to show you that, you know, it's not completely lost in the portfolio environment, here's PWA, and if I go to the ribbon, we actually have out of the box earned value view. This is Project Online, and you can see here that I can tell which projects aren't really having a baseline or doing earned value because I've got a lot of zeros here, but you can also see that some of them do have information. So I think I have one down here with the earned value view. Here, well, let's see. Let me get this out of the way. I have a couple. So I have my schedule variance, my cost variance, and in fact, I never got too far into it as I was prepping this because we had to reset our demo, but I can even do indicators and stuff. So if I go around, pick this one up, EV managed. Obviously, I'm going to manage some projects with earned value and some I won't. But you can even do indicators. So I can see here that, you know, don't really know what my, I was doing TCPI here. But you can see on the ones that I am managing with earned value, TCPI is one, I'm all good. I'm sorry? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. It's still point in time. So all the calculations, like earned value and the indices, those are all being calculated at the project level. And then they're simply displaying here at the portfolio level. Okay? Yeah, let me answer that. But before I do, all you walking out the door, thanks for coming, everybody. It was a pleasure to see you on a Wednesday morning. Thank you.